John chapter 10. And in verse 10, familiar verse to most people, it says here, "The thief cometh not but for to steal and to kill and to destroy." Amen. I am come that they might have life, and they might have it more abundantly. What I wanted to look at today was the spiritual battle a little bit. And I want you to look at that Jesus Christ came for us to have an abundant life. The devil came for a very simple reason, right? Steal, kill, and destroy. Right? There really isn't anything else, right? Steal, kill, and destroy. It's a simple ministry that he has. Steal, kill, and destroy. Everything he does is oriented to steal, kill, and destroy. Right? If you ever find yourself thinking otherwise, go back to this verse. Right? He comes to steal, kill, and destroy. That's his ministry. It's a simple ministry, but it's not a disorganized ministry. Right? It is a very, very organized ministry the adversary has. Right? Now, the intent of this teaching is not for us to start looking for evil everywhere, right? Or to become afraid or anything like that, but for us not to be ignorant of what the Bible says about the adversary and what he tries to do to people. Because the things that go on in life, you know, every day things happen. We know that. I mean, there are always things happening around us, and we come across lots of circumstances, lots of situations, lots of decision points and things that we need to do. And sometimes it's very easy to think, well, these things just happen. You know, oh, it's just, you know, these things happen. It's all random, and you never know day to day. And that's not what the Word of God says, right? Let's look at 1 Peter chapter 5. 1 Peter chapter 5. Does anybody remember what the first characteristic of the adversary in the Bible is? I asked the kids first. Kids, you guys kids remember? Any kids? Anyone? No? Adults, anybody? Yeah, that's the word. The word is subtle. Yes, cunning, subtle. It says in Genesis, right? So he was more subtle than any beast of the field, right? He was more subtle, which is interesting to think about it. Like if you think that the first time God says something about something in the Word of God is very significant. He has a purpose for what he says, where he says it, how he says it, to whom he says it. We understand that. So the first characteristic that he reveals to us of the devil is that he is subtle. Right? It's interesting, right? If you think about that, just that very truth. And so the thing that he's going to do in life, you're probably not going to know he's doing it. Right? That's what subtle is. If the first characteristic was the devil is obvious, he was more obvious than any beast of the field, then it would be different. That's not what it says. It says he's subtle. Right? So when you're being attacked, there's a good chance you really won't know it. Unless, of course, we do what we're going to look at in the Word of God, right? A little bit in a minute here. But remember Paul, when he went to the island of Paphos, right? He was trying to preach God's Word and heal, and this Elymais, a sorcerer, came to him. What did Paul say to him? He says to him, "Thou child of the devil, full of all subtlety," right? So even his children had the same characteristics as he does, right? He's subtle. So he said, "You're full of all subtlety." Paul knew what he was talking about. It says in Timothy that the serpent beguiled Eve through his subtlety. Eve didn't see it coming, right? It was subtle. If she had known the ramifications of everything she had done, wouldn't have done that. But he was subtle. He tricked her. Right? And that's the attack of the adversary. Jesus Christ came to reveal the adversary and his workings and things he does to people, and he's done through thousands of years. And yet, since he revealed him, the adversary has done whatever he can to go back into hiding, right? Hiding behind couched phrases and ways of thinking and neat, you know, terms people have these days to mark them. and he's gone back into hiding. You talk to a lot of Christians and see if they even think that he exists, right? I'm talking not about just, you know, your person walking in the street. Head Christians, people who run churches and are responsible for thousands of people, to see if they even believe that there is a thing called the devil, right? 1 Peter chapter 5, verse 8 is very clear. Be sober, be vigilant, because your adversary, the devil, as a roaring lion, walketh about, seeking whom he may devour. Right? So devour pretty much falls into steal, kill, and destroy. His ministry hasn't changed by the time we got Peter wrote here, right? Steal, kill, and destroy. But he says he walketh about, seeking whom he may devour. It's not random, just kind of, you know, he's checking to see. And that's why the Word of God says we're to be sober and vigilant. Right? How could you be sober and vigilant if it was just random and things just happening? You know, what would you watch for? Right? What would you actually be sober and vigilant about if it was all just kind of random? Right? So here the Word of God says, we're not going to read, well, might as well read 6 and 7. Humble yourselves therefore under the mighty hand of God, that he may exalt you in due time. Verse 7, casting all your care upon him, for he careth for you. And, you know, God's protection and blessing are always there in all these contexts we're going to look at. Look at Ephesians chapter 6. We have to read there. Ephesians chapter 6. This is something, you know, we need to remind ourselves about pretty regularly. Because one of the things that happens to us and everyone is that sometimes we can fall into a bit of a sleep, you know, spiritually a little bit, about thinking, well, you know, it's only the Word of God that keeps us sharp on what God would have us to know, right? So it's good to read these verses, especially Ephesians 6:12. It says, for we wrestle not, here it says, wrestle not against flesh and blood. Now, most of the confrontations you're going to have in life are against flesh and blood, yeah? But the Bible says that's not who you're wrestling against, right? Now, it may appear that way, it may show up that way, but the Bible says that's not who we wrestle against. And also does not say that we don't wrestle, right? It doesn't say that you're left alone and you're not wrestling. The Bible says we wrestle, but we're not wrestling against flesh and blood. Not. But what? Against principalities, right? Against powers, against the rulers, right? Remember that word, rulers of the darkness of this world, right? Against spiritual wickedness in high places or from on high, right? Principalities, powers, rulers, darkness of spiritual wickedness. You don't have rulers in a kingdom where there isn't any kind of structure, right? These guys, we're wrestling against spiritual wickedness, right? And it shows up many times in our lives as suggestion from a friend, or, you know, attack, you know, maybe physical attack, maybe you're having a problem with a coworker, or maybe you're this, or maybe you're that, or whatever. I don't know how it shows up, but behind the scenes, this is what is going on, right? And the odd time, you know, we get insight into that realm, God will show us something, or, you know, we see in God's word where, remember when Daniel prayed once, it says that when he prayed, God immediately set in motion some angels to do something, right? His prayer resulted in an action in the spiritual realm. God gives us insight. Many times in the Gospels where Jesus Christ is ministering, God says to him, well, that's a devil spirit of this, and that's a spirit of that, cast that out, something. You know, he shows him what's going on. But behind the scenes, that is what is going on, right? There's no doubt about it. And we may talk ourselves out of it. We may, you know, listen to people in the world who are believers, Christians, and who don't believe in this at all, right? Not a bit, right? Fine. People who believe, who live that way, have already been deceived by the great deceiver, because it's first subtle, right? He's already got them. Because if you don't believe in an enemy, you're in a lot of trouble, right? The worst enemy, can you imagine a battle where you don't even know there's an enemy, or you don't even believe there's an enemy, and there is an enemy? Oh, that would be the worst kind of battle, right? Luke chapter 11. Luke 11. Again, I reiterate, the whole point of looking at this is not so we get all concerned and worried about things, but it's for us to be wise, vigilant, and sober about our own personal lives. Remember we looked at a thing on prayer where it talked about Hannah, and it said it talked about her adversary, provoked her sore, right? In that case, a very personal adversary that she had that was really hitting her hard. So in everybody's life, you know, there are various areas where we are weaker, where the areas where we're stronger, right? We need to be very vigilant and sober about those areas of our lives, right? Because if it's a battle, I mean, if you're going to attack a fort and you know there's three walls in the fort and there's no wall around the back, which way are you going to go in? Are you going to try to blow the fort down from the front? Or are you just going to take your time and walk around the back and walk in, right? If it's random, it doesn't matter. But if it's orchestrated, right, you know, your weakness is good to know where they are. Luke chapter 11, verse 12. Or if he shall ask, verse 13. If he then, being evil, know how to give good gifts unto your children, how much more shall your heavenly Father give the Holy Spirit to them that ask him? And he was casting out a devil, and it was dumb. And it came to pass, when the devil was gone out, the dumb spake, and the people wondered. Wow. But some of them said that he casts out devils through Beelzebub, the chief of the devils. And others, tempting him, sought of him a sign from heaven. So some were saying, you know, he's using spirits, evil spirits, to cast out evil spirits. But he, verse 17, knowing their thoughts, said unto them, every kingdom divided against itself is brought to desolation, and a house divided against a house falleth. If Satan also be divided against himself, how shall his kingdom stand? Because you say that I cast out devils through Beelzebub. He was very cognizant of what was going on. He was saying, come on. I mean, the adversary has a kingdom. Do you think he's going to allow his kingdom to fight against itself and bring that down? Is that how it works? Right? He's reproving them, but in his reproof is great insight into how the kingdom of the adversary works, right? It's a kingdom, right? A kingdom, does a kingdom have any kind of structure? Is there a king? Are there first ministers and second ministers and whatever you call them, princes and princes-in-waiting, and I don't know, where, right? I'm not a royalist, but there are various responsibilities, if you will, in a kingdom, right? It's organized. It's not disheveled or it's very, very organized and very, very structured. You don't see kings saying, oh, who are we going to fight today? Let's just go out there and see whoever we come across, we'll fight against them. That's not how it works, right? They say, well, this person over here or this kingdom over here, we can gain something if we attack that kingdom because they have all the resources for the water supply in this area. Let's go and attack that area. Right? These guys have all the gold. Let's go and attack that area. Right? It's very structured, very organized. That's where the adversary works. He's structured. He's organized. Right? Most Christians, on the other hand, are disheveled and disorganized in their own thinking. They don't even believe this actually happens. Right? You see it, if you know, you can think in your mind about the things that happen through God's word and how some of the records that you know about point this out very, very markedly. It's not, God said in Genesis that someday he was going to send the Messiah. Yeah? He said that, remember that? Wonderful, we all know that. In Genesis 3, promised the coming of a Messiah. After that time, right, the devil succeeded in getting the whole human race down to one man, right? Who was that? No, I know he had three kids, three sons and all that, but who really was the one standing, right? Noah, one man. Do you think that was not a structured attack, right? How about other records, like the record of Esther, kids and I were talking about this week, Esther and Mordecai, remember that? Do you think that Haman was there and he just happenstance said, let's just kill all the Judeans in the nation? Do you think that was just a random thought that he had? What was the adversary trying to do in killing all the Judeans in all the nations of the world, right? He was trying to protect the coming of Jesus Christ. You see how structured and organized? It's structured. He didn't say, let's kill the Jews, right? How about when he finally realized where he was going to be born, right? Remember that? Who was a Herod? Herod. What did Herod do? Killed all the babies. Right? What was he trying to do? Was that disorganized? Oh, you know what? I think I'll just kill all babies today. Who gave him that idea? Right? Who's the guy behind the scenes? Who's the king? Right? Who's running the show? Right? But you see the end result? You get thousands of people. I don't know how many there were. People who lost their kids, right? That one night, right? That was structured. It was organized, and he knew exactly what he was doing, right? You think he doesn't know what he's doing to your life, right? You think he doesn't know where you're weak, right? I guarantee you, he knows. How about Jesus Christ in the wilderness? 40 days and 40 nights. What's the first thing he says to him? Are you hungry? Right. Where do you think he was the weakest at that point? Right. He hadn't eaten for 40 days. Right. Are you hungry? You see, he's very subtle, very targeted, right? Enemies of David. The book of Psalms is full of David thanking God for protection from all those around him, and they're the sons of Baal, right? You see lots of that in Psalms for God's protection of those trying to undermine his kingdom, right? His kingship and his ministry before God. About Paul, right? Paul ever have any problems? Anybody ever target Paul? Right? Wow, right? Who killed Jesus Christ? Right? The top religious leaders of our time orchestrated his death, right? Think that was random? Right. 2 Corinthians chapter 11. Let's look at Paul. Verse 3. 2 Corinthians chapter 11, verse 3. For as much as you are manifestly declared... Am I in the wrong place? I'm in 2 Corinthians chapter 3. Did I say 11? Why am I in 3 then? Let's try 11:3. How about that? Still a common. Still adds up to 14. 11:3. I'm in the wrong place. Okay. Verse 3. But I fear lest by any means as a serpent beguiled Eve. There's that verse. Through his simplicity. I think I said it was in Timothy. It's actually in Corinthians. So your mind should be corrupted from the simplicity that is in Christ. For if he that cometh preaches another Jesus unto you, whom we have not preached, or if you receive another spirit which you have not received, or another gospel which you have not accepted, you might well bear with him. Verse 13. For such are false apostles, deceitful workers, transforming themselves into the apostles of Christ. See, this is how he works. It says that... And no marvel, for Satan himself is transformed into an angel of light. Right? That's his background. He was the most beautiful, you know, cherub, God's anointed cherub, and all this full of beauty, and all this thing it says in Ezekiel about the adversary. He was the bright and morning star. He was just beautiful, right? So he knows how to trick. He knows how to deceive. And here it says even his apostles have transformed into the apostles of Christ. Right? Isn't that interesting? He transformed them into the apostles of Christ. And no marvel. Verse 15. Therefore, it is no great thing if his ministers also be transformed as the ministers of righteousness. So someone comes to you preaching righteousness. Wouldn't that be good? Subtle, right? He is subtle. Whose end shall be according to their works. In the end, you'll know where they end up. I say again, let no man think me a fool. If otherwise, yet as a fool, receive me, that I may boast myself a little. Let's go down to verse 23. Are they ministers of Christ? I speak as a fool. I am more, in labors more abundant, in stripes above measure, in prisons more frequent, in deaths often. Of the Jews, 40 times received I 40 stripes. Sorry, 5 times received I 40 stripes, save one. Thrice was I beaten with rods. Once was I stoned. Thrice I suffered shipwreck, a night and a day I have been in the deep. You think, you know, it may have been a temptation for Paul to think, well, that just happens, you know. You never know, you know. And here I was in a ship. The ship just happened to get into a storm. You know, who knows who's really behind it? And these false brethren, yeah, I know. People make mistakes all the time, right? He could have thought that. This was happening to him regularly. in journeyings often, verse 26, perils of waters and so forth, you know, and verse 27, weariness, painfulness, care of all the churches, verse 28. And then we get to verse 32, in Damascus, the governor trying to capture him with a whole garrison trying to capture Paul. I think we all know these records. You know, this very, very targeted attack. And in chapter 12, he says in verse 7, chapter 12, verse 7, and lest I should be exalted above measure, through the abundance of the revelations there was given to me a thorn in the flesh, the messenger of who?
Satan.
Right. So he tells us exactly where all these attacks came from. Right? Like you might say a false brethren, somebody who was planted to trick Paul, somebody who, you know, a storm sent to destroy the ship. Right? All these things, it was who? Who was behind it all? Right? Satan. He even tells them. And the great thing I love the verses, he says in verse 7, he says, verse 8, for this thing I besought the Lord thrice that it might depart from me. And he said unto me, my grace is sufficient for thee. So here's where we get into, how do you deal with all this? Because if you read all this, you can be tempted to think, oh man, what can I possibly do? Right? How can I guarantee you, and this is where the second part of the trickery comes in. The first part is his subtlety. You just don't even realize it. And first of all, you don't even think it happened to you. And secondly, you don't realize when it's happening to you because it's subtle. And the third thing is, oh, I can deal with that. Right, that's the third place you can really lose it. Right, I can handle this. I'm a strong believer. He can't get me. Right, that's not what Paul said. Right? What did he say? He said, verse 9, my grace is sufficient for thee, for thee my strength is made perfect in weakness. Most gladly, therefore, will I rather glory in my infirmities, that the power of Christ may rest upon me. He didn't say, because I am such a strong believer, you know, Hebrew of the Hebrews, I know exactly what I'm doing, I can handle this. That's not what he said. Verse 10, therefore I take reproaches in infirmities, pleasure in infirmities, reproaches in necessities, in persecutions, in distresses, for Christ's sake, but when I am weak, then am I strong. He was trusting in the Lord to take care of him. That's the only way you can handle the attack of the adversary. You're not smart enough, I'm not smart enough, right? God and the work that Jesus Christ has done, that is where the smart lies, right? Look at Ephesians chapter 6. He derived his strength from the Lord. That's the only way. You can't possibly figure out all the combinations, permutations, and things that happen day by day. You can't do it, right? You might think you can. You might be convinced you can. Oh, I can just, you know, look at this kind of material or look at this website for a while. It won't have an impact on me. I'm strong enough. I can handle that. You are deceived, right? If you think that way. I am deceived if I think that way. Because the Bible tells me I can't handle it. Right? Ephesians chapter 6 verse 10 says, be strong. Finally, my brethren, be strong in who? In the Lord and in the power of his might. You can't win this without Jesus Christ. You can't do it. Right? It's not possible. Right? You might think you can, but why? What was the point in God sending him to win the victory over the adversary when you could do it yourself? Right? You can't do it. Not possible. Verse 11. For put on the whole armor of God, that you may be able to stand against the wiles. See, all those same words are constantly used. Wiles of the devil. He's subtle. He's deceiving. Right? The wiles of the devil. For we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this world, against spiritual wickedness in high places. Wherefore, take unto the whole armor of God, that you may be able to withstand in the evil day, and having done all, to stand. Just keep your finger here and look at 2 Corinthians chapter 4 for a second. 2 Corinthians chapter 4. We're going to read that section in Ephesians where it talks about the armor of God. What is the armor of God? We know what it is, right? Mostly. The Word of God, right? In 2 Corinthians chapter 4, verse 1. Therefore, seeing we have this ministry as we receive mercy, we faint not, but have renounced the hidden things of dishonesty, not walking in craftiness nor handling the word of God deceitfully, but by manifestation of the truth, commending ourselves to every man's conscience in the sight of God. But if our gospel, and here's talking about the word, if our gospel be hid, it is hid to them that are lost, in whom the God of this world, talking about the devil, hath blinded the minds of them which believe not, lest the light of the glorious gospel of Christ, who is the image of God, should shine unto them. See, he does everything he can to make sure that the word of God does not get to his people. That's his point. Why? Because he knows that that is what will allow us to combat and stand against him. So what's he going to do? I'm going to make sure this believer never has time to go to the word of God any day of his life. I just got to make sure. Oh, there's an emergency over here. Oh, you got to do this. Have you handled this yet? How about this? This is more pressing than reading the Bible today, right? You see, it's very, very subtle attack. We know the truth. The truth is simple. The word of God says to us, stay in my word. You keep your mind here, and I will take care of you. Trust in the work that Jesus Christ has done for you, and I will protect you. I will take care of you. And what do we say? Oh, I don't know. I'm kind of busy today. I'm going to read the Bible tomorrow. I'm going to set aside this hour tomorrow that I know that I'm really ready to pray and read the Bible. What happens tomorrow? A friend calls you. Let's go to the bar. Let's go here. Let's go watch a movie. It's just random. These things just happen randomly, right? It's not targeted. I guarantee it, right? It's not a targeted attack on your life at all. Because the devil doesn't want to get to you. He will leave you alone, right? Is that what the word says? That's what happens. And that's the subtlety of it all. Because we just think it's normal occurrences and timing and all these things. And behind the scenes, all he's trying to do is keep you away from the word of God. That's it. It's not complicated. Steal, kill, and destroy. If he wants to steal from you, kill you, or destroy you, all he's got to do is keep you away from the word of God, and that is what is going to happen. Right? Not a complicated ministry, but a targeted, organized ministry. Chapter 6 back here. Let's go back to verse 13. Wherefore, take unto you the whole armor of God, that you may be able to withstand in the evil day, and having done all, to stand. Stand, verse 14. Stand, therefore, having your loins girt about with truth, and having on the breastplate of righteousness. Loins girt about with what? Truth. The word of God. That's what it's talking about. The core, you know, the kids are always talking about CrossFit. You know, gotta work my core. You know, gotta work that core. Right? Why? Because the core of your body is where the twisting and turning motion comes from. It's your whole body reacts with the strength of your core, right? And the Bible says, wrap that around with the truth of God's word. You know, I might want to spend time working physically and staying fit, but if I spend no time, you know, here, guess what? I've lost, right? I've been deceived. Right? I may be able to bench press 150,000 pounds, but I can't deal with one single. I can't deal with a single dart of the adversary because I've not taken the time to put the truth on. We're going to go to Luke 4, but just instead of going there, you guys know the record in Luke chapter 4, right? Where the adversary himself confronted Jesus Christ, right? And you would think in that record, and we've looked at it many times over the years, you would think in that record, if Jesus Christ was going to do something really cool and spectacular to thwart the adversary's purposes, that would have been the time to show everybody how to do it. But what does he do? It is written. It is written. It is written, right? That's how he combats the adversary. There's no, you know, our ministry is even simpler, right? We don't have to steal, kill, and destroy. We don't have to do three things. We just have to do one thing. Just trust the Lord, right? And to do what? What did he say? What did he do anything really, really beyond the realm of any one of us here to do? To know what the word of God says. It is written, thou shalt not tempt the Lord thy God. Thou shalt, you know, every man, where he tempted him with the bread thing, right? Man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeded out of the mouth of God, right? He knew what the word of God said, and that's what he stood on, and that's what he believed. You think his loins were girt about with the truth? Oh my goodness. Absolutely. And what did the devil do? Never bothered him again. Is that what it says? For a while. You see, he's freaking resilient, right? it definitely pushed him away, but guess what? He was coming back when he had the opportunity for a season. And did he come back? Oh, yeah. Again and again and again, through his family, to his friends, to the apostles, right? Through the weather, everything. Whatever he could do, very targeted. You want to see targeted attack? The adversary, Gospels, right? And what did Jesus Christ do? Just kind of walk through that crowd, right? Just walk right through it. That's why trusting in the Lord is the only way we'll win this thing. Right? And I've already won the victory. We all know we won the eventual victory. I'm talking about your day-by-day challenges in life that we're here on the earth. Ephesians 4, let's go back to that. Verse 15, and your feet shod with the preparation of the gospel of peace. Oh my goodness. It's just not enough to have your loins girded about with truth. You should put them on your feet too. So everywhere you go, your feet talk about walking, right? You're walking everywhere you go. What do you have there? The gospel. Remember, this whole section is that we wrestle not against flesh and blood, right? This whole section is talking about that. And then God's telling us how to deal with it. And he's saying, stand fast in the Lord. And then he tells us to wrap your loins with truth. Feet shod with preparation of gospel peace. Verse 16, above all, taking the shield of faith, believing. How do you learn the right way? How do you learn to believe? Where do you learn to believe from? What are you believing? Right? The word. Wherewith you shall be able to quench all the fiery darts of the wicked. There is not one that's getting through if we stand in the Lord, right? And take the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit, which, by the way, is the Word of God, right? Pretty straightforward. Verse 18, praying always with all prayer and supplication in the Spirit, and watching thereunto with all perseverance, supplication for all saints. Same thing with what it says in be vigilant and sober. So how are we vigilant and sober? Prayer for one another. Prayer in the Spirit, standing fast in the Lord. Look at 2 Timothy chapter 3. See, it gets to be a point where your life, where you ought to know, we ought to know where our weakness lies. And I know where I am weak. I know where I have to be more especially careful in areas of my life where, you know, I need to be watchful for, well, you know, if I feel this way or I think this way, I got to be more careful, right? And those kind of areas, you apply more of God's word until you deal with that area, right? But you know what area you need. I know what area I need. Chapter 3, 2 Timothy 3:12. Yea, and all that will live godly in Christ Jesus shall suffer persecution. It's funny that this persecution comes against those that live godly in Christ Jesus, but it's just random, right? But evil men and seducers shall wax worse and worse, deceiving and being deceived. Who's the deceiver? Who deceives? You see, it's the same attack, right? The same prince, king is behind it all. But continue thou. Here's the solution again. It just reads just like Ephesians chapter 6. So writes to Timothy, evil comes to those who stand on God's word. There are a lot of deceptions and deceiving people out there. How do you deal with it? Verse 14. But continue thou in the things which thou hast learned and hast been assured of, knowing of whom thou hast learned them, that from a child thou hast known what?
The Holy Scriptures.
Not complicated, right? That from a child thou hast... I would think that when you read all these kind of verses, that it would trigger in your mind, in my mind, you know, I ought to get to God's word as often as I possibly can. Right? I ought to stay in the word. I ought to listen to it. I ought to think about it. I ought to memorize it. I ought to get my mind into God's word as often as I possibly can. Right? Isn't that what this all exhorts us to do? Here he says to Timothy, you know what's coming at you, but you just remember from even when you were a child, you've known God's word. He didn't say, now I want you to learn this, this, and this. He goes, just remember what's always got you through. It was the word, Timothy. Right? Don't forget the word. That's what he tells him. That from a child thou hast known the scriptures, which are able to make thee wise unto salvation through faith which is in Christ Jesus. Stand fast in the Lord, just like Ephesians 6. All scripture is given by inspiration of God. It's profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness. That the man of God may be perfect, truly furnished unto all good works. Ready to deal with anything that comes at you. This is Ephesians chapter 6, just said a little differently, right? But it's the same truth. Look at Ephesians chapter 1. Ephesians 1:18. that the eyes of your understanding being enlightened, that you may know what is the hope of his calling, and what the riches of the glory of his inheritance in the saints, and what is the exceeding greatness of his power to us who believe, according to the working of his mighty power. Who believe what? The word, which he wrought in Christ, verse 20, when he raised him from the dead and set him at his own right hand in the heavenly places, far above all principality and power and might and dominion, every name that is named, not only in this world, but also in that which is to come. See, greater is he that is in you than he that is in the world. And hath put all things under his feet, verse 22, and gave him to be the head over all things, the church, which is his body, the fullness of him that filleth all in all. You see, we stand fast in the Lord because God wrought all that power in Jesus Christ when he raised him from the dead and made it available to you and me. And that's how you deal with it. Close in Philippians 2. There's no reason to be afraid, right? There's no reason at all to be afraid. Because first of all, the first thing that eliminates fear from our lives is recognizing you can't do it on your own anyway. Right? You can't do this on your own. Right? Isn't that what it says? It says we need Jesus Christ. Stand fast in the Lord, right, and the power of his might. And the power of his might is the power that raised Jesus Christ from the dead. God wrought that power in Jesus Christ. So when you trust in that, boy, nothing can stand. It says in the, what it says in the, when the devils hear about this, they what? They tremble, right? They tremble. They're afraid of Jesus Christ. And that is what is, that is the power that is in you and me, right? Christ in us, the hope of glory. No reason to ever be afraid. But we need to be sober and vigilant and be wary and recognize that the way to deal with this, to stay in the Word of God, right? Stay in the Word. Think the word, speak the word to one another, stay in the gospel. Philippians 2:5. For your fellowship, that's the wrong verse. 2:5. Let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus, who being in the form of God, thought it not robbery to be equal with God, but made himself of no reputation, and took upon him the form of a servant, and was made in the likeness of men, and being found in fashion as a man, he humbled himself and became obedient unto death, even the death of the cross. Wherefore God also hath highly exalted him and given him a name that is above every name, that the name of Jesus every knee should bow, of things in heaven and things in earth and things under the earth. Right? Every knee should bow at the name of Jesus Christ. That's why standing fast in the Lord is the way to go, right? We stand fast because every knee must bow. And that means all those... That means the entire kingdom of the adversary, all those principalities, powers, and things read about Ephesians chapter 6, are they all in that category? Every knee must bow, right? And that is what God has given to us through Jesus Christ. And how do we exercise that? We stay in the Word. How did Jesus Christ exercise it? It is written. How did Paul tell Timothy? You just remember the Scriptures, Timothy. You remember what you learned. Okay, don't forget that. That word of God is given as really profitable to you, and it's profitable to you in every area of your life, so you're always ready. That's what Ephesians chapter 6 says. Gospel on loins, gospel in the feet, gospel in your heart, gospel in your head, right? And stay in God's word and stand fast in the Lord and be sober and vigilant. Right? So we need to be wary. Right? It's a spiritual battle. It's not just this flesh and blood thing you see every day and we come across various circumstances in life. There's more that goes on behind the scenes, right? And I really think that if God showed us everything that happens behind the scenes, I don't think we'd be able to handle it, right? So he says, well, just stand fast in the Lord, stay in my word, and remember what it is that brought you to where you are today, and it was his word and all that Jesus Christ has done, right? So that's that.